Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I want to start off this podcast by making a comment about the 34-count felony conviction of Donald Trump last week. Now, for context, I'm neither a Republican or a Democrat. I am a libertarian who has ambivalent feelings about the former president. I mean, he's a very flawed human being. You can't deny that. But all of us are flawed to a lesser or greater degree. It is also true that he's far from a sound money fiscal conservative, which is what I espouse most and want most in a president, or one of the most things that I want from a president. Nevertheless, he is far better than the other candidate up for election. The truth is, the left has succeeded in moving this country closer to a banana republic by leaps and bounds. And in banana republic nations, the natural course of politics is to routinely include the incarceration of opposing candidates. That is why, for both economic and constitutional reasons, it is imperative to put a stop to the type of actions that took place in Lower Manhattan at the behest of its district attorney, Alan Bragg. I have November 5th in extra bold highlighted marker ink on my calendar. Why do I mention all this? Because I do not expect a smooth election or peaceful transition of power here in the United States. And just look what happened in India this week, of which the stock, the ETF of India, I have two of them, has been a part of our portfolio for quite some time. The Sensex was up 3.5 percentage points on Monday to an all-time record high because the early exit polling had Modi ahead. Then it plunged 5.5% on Tuesday before bouncing by 3.2% today. This was just because of an election surprise that caused a bit of uncertainty about who would wield power. Prime Minister Modi's BJP party did not win enough seats in parliament to have a governing majority, and he needed to form a coalition, which is what he did today. In the US, we could have a situation that's much worse, where both Trump and Biden declare victory and try to occupy the White House simultaneously. We will need to pay very close attention to the election around that time frame. Now, turning to the economic data, pending U.S. existing home sales tumbled to a four-year low in April as higher mortgage rates cast a pall on the spring selling season. An index of contract signings from the National Association of Realtors dropped 7.7% to 72.3, which was the lowest reading since the early months of the pandemic. The monthly decline was steeper than all estimates on Bloomberg's survey of economists and was the worst since February of 2021. All U.S. regions saw declines from a month earlier. The Chicago Business Barometer, also known as the Chicago PMI, fell to 35.4 in May from 37.9 in April. It was also the lowest reading since the pandemic in May of 2020. The reading was well below expectations too. Economists polled by the Wall Street Journal forecast a reading of 40.8. And this is the sixth consecutive reading in contractionary territory for the Chicago PMI. And so much for the manufacturing renaissance promulgated in the mainstream financial media. The ISM manufacturing survey for May dropped further into contractionary territory, falling to 48.7 in May from 49.2 in April. New orders took a deep dive to 45.4 from 49.1. But just when you think it's time to panic about the economy going off a cliff imminently, we get contradictory data from the ISM services survey, which rose to 53.8 in May from a contractionary 49.4 in April. However, even when within this report, there is contradictions and conflicting data, with the employment index contracting to 47.1. What is for certain is that the real estate market remains frozen due to sky-high home prices and the carrying costs like insurance, taxes, and maintenance fees that have gone through the roof. The 30-year fixed mortgage rate ticked up to 7.07% last week from 7.05% in the prior week. Mortgage applications to purchase a home fell 4% during the week and were 16% lower than the pitiful pace that was seen a year ago. Now, housing affordability will be helped if mortgage rates drop significantly. That's true. And that's only true if it's due to a plunge in CPI, the Consumer Price Index. But that would probably only occur in the context of a recession, which is very bad for home buying demand. And there is no surety, given the massive deficits already in place, that interest rates will decline much at all, if at all, given the tsunami of debt that will need to be issued during the next recession, which the public is going to have to buy. Commercial real estate is a big problem right now, and the issue is global. Canadian investment manager Nine Point Partners LP is temporarily suspending cash distributions in three of its private credit funds. Unitholders of funds with about $2 billion Canadian dollars or $1.5 billion of assets won't be able to receive cash payments in order to preserve the fund's liquidity. In the U.S., Barry Sternlicht, the chairman of the Starwood Capital Group, a commercial real estate fund, put up redemption gates for his clients to keep them from taking money out of his fund at will. Starwood introduced new restrictions that cap monthly withdrawals at just 0.33% of net asset value. This was done to prevent the company from having to sell illiquid commercial real estate assets at a fraction of their former worth. Now, Mr. Sternlicht said on CNBC this morning, quote, "I decided that for the benefit of the 80% of people who've never redeemed, we should slow down redemptions," close quote. Sternlicht said he decided to implement the cap to protect loyal clients who never redeemed. Wow. I guess now everyone is forced into loyalty to Barry. They're forced into it. No choice. Absolutely pitiful. We cannot and we will never put up any kind of walls or gates between you and your money here at Penta Portfolio Strategies. Of course, bubbles abound everywhere. Private credit and commercial real estate is a huge bubble, and this private credit bubble is new and has grown to a massive size. Private credit makes up loans to businesses that cannot get a loan from a bank or issue corporate debt. The total of this market was $100 billion prior to the global financial crisis. That number is up 1,600% to $1.7 trillion. It's a massive problem. Private credit and commercial real estate, massive problems in the vanguard of the banking and financial crisis to come. Of course, you know, let's just talk about the fact that we have total U.S. federal debt to GDP is now 123%. It was 60% of GDP prior to the global financial crisis. The national debt is 735% of revenue. And we're adding 42% of all of our revenue that we take in, 42% of that, to the debt every year. And here are some facts you need to take into account when you hear about how wonderful the economy is doing. GDP growth in the third quarter of last year was 4.9%. In Q4 of last year, it fell from 4.9 to 3.4%. And we just learned that in Q1 of 2024, it dropped all the way down to 1.3%. So 4.9, 3.4, to 1.3. Meanwhile, CPI, July of 2023, 3.3%. August, 3.7%. September, 3.7%. October, 3.2%. November, 3.1%. December, 3.3%. January of 24, 3.1%. February, 3.2%. March of 3.5%. And April, 3.4%. See that? You see the point here. GDP growth has fallen sharply over the past three quarters, while inflation has remained elevated and sticky around 3.5%. In other words, it feels like stagflation right now, but we have not seen anything yet. And that is my fear, my prediction and my fear. The fact is that inflation has already destroyed the middle class. That is not my opinion. There is a plethora of data to back up that conclusion. Here's the latest one for you. According to a poll put out this week from the National True Cost of Living Coalition, 65% of Americans, almost two-thirds of Americans, face economic hardships and financial insecurity. And they didn't poll everybody. They polled people based on a survey of individuals whose income was at least 200% above the national poverty level. Of course, if you went to some city, an inner city, and polled people who are living on welfare and asked them how they're doing, well, then you know the poll would be skewed. But this particular group looked for people whose income was at least 200% above poverty level. At least 200%. And that qualified them for the survey. And 65% of those people face economic hardships. Yes, inflation needs to come down, Joe, not go up more slowly from its asinine 2% target level, which you're not even hitting. We remain in sector three of my five-sector investment spectrum that ranges between deflation and hyperinflation. Sector three is when the second derivative of inflation is nearly constant. So it doesn't matter if it's 2% or 5%. As long as it's the quarter over quarter change is constant, that's the second derivative staying the same. And that informs me on how to invest. It means don't panic and head into the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse, which is what you'd want to ride when you're in a depressionary, recessionary deflation. But it also means don't get too excited about going out on this long on this speculation curve and own Bitcoin options on margin. It means you need to be in a balanced portfolio. I then expect the next sector to be disinflation, sector two, rather than sector four, which is reflation. It is vitally important to emphasize that the sojourn into recession / depression should be a prelude to a protracted period of intense stagflation such as the U.S. has never experienced or even believed possible. This is because both the Treasury and Fed will be compelled to issue and then monetize multiple trillions of dollars in debt to try and keep asset prices from imploding, which would bankrupt the entire financial system. We will monitor the dynamics between inflation and deflation in order to participate safely in the current bubble, but also try to protect and profit from its inevitable destruction.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.